الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. I ask Allah to raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Today we shall talk about some of the matters that will occur on the Day of Judgment and continue talking about the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Let us explain about the belief in the torture of the grave and the enjoyment therein. After the person is buried, his soul, which is separated from his body at death, returns to his body. Two angels come to him. One angel is named Munkar and the other angel is named Nakir. They will ask the dead person about his Lord, about his Prophet, and about his religion. They have a frightening appearance. The blasphemer will be extremely frightened of them because of their appearance. However, the God-fearing believers, they will not be afraid from them because Allah strengthened their heart with the faith. The people in their graves are two types. One type experience enjoyments in the grave. Their graves are widened and illuminated. These are the obedient and forgiven Muslims. The other type will be tortured in their graves, and these are also in categories. One are the blasphemers, who will face the torture of the grave continually until their bodies decay. Then after their bodies decay, their souls will be taken to a place in the seventh earth called Sijjin, where they will be tortured until the Day of Judgment. The other category are the sinful Muslims, whom Allah did not forgive. So the Muslims, the believers who did some sins, and Allah did not forgive them. They will be tortured in their graves for a certain period. However, the torture will not continue for them until the Day of Judgment, as the kafir or the blasphemer, the disbeliever. Once their bodies decay, their souls are suspended between the earth and the sky. They will face their remaining torture, which they deserved in the hereafter, except those whom Allah forgives. Believing in the torture of the grave and the enjoyments of the grave is an obligation. The one who categorically denies the torture of the grave is a blasphemer. Also, among the things that the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us about is the resurrection. The resurrection is the rising of the dead from their graves. One must believe in the resurrection. Allah recreates the bodies that decayed and returns the soul to them. Then the dead will rise out of their graves and then they will be assembled. So among the things that the Prophet told us about is the assembly, Al-Hashr. After the resurrection, the humans, animals, and jinn will be assembled. They will be gathered by the angels to one place, which is called the changed earth, Al-Ardu Al-Mubaddala. Also among the things the Prophet told us about is the Day of Judgment. It is obligatory to believe in the Day of Judgment. Its length is 50,000 years of what we count. The Day of Judgment begins when the people leave their graves, which is resurrection, al-ba'ath, and lasts until those whom Allah willed for them to go to paradise enter it, and those whom Allah willed for them to go to hellfire enter it. Also, the Prophet told us about the presentation of the deeds, which is on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, every person will be presented with his deeds. Every person will be handed his book in which the angels wrote. This book contains what he did in this life, what he said, what he uttered. On that day, some people will be delighted with their books and others will be sad because of the bad deeds that they have committed. And this is called Al-Hisab. Al-Thawab, the reward. The reward refers to the reward for the believers in the hereafter in return for the good things they did in this life. This reward is by both body and soul. So for example, the reward to the believers in Allah properly and all the prophets would be paradise. And paradise, the enjoyment of it is by both body and soul. The punishment, al-'adhab. The punishment refers to the punishment that one received in the hereafter in return for the sins one did in this life. The punishment is also by body and soul. We ask Allah to protect us from that. The balance, al-mizan. In the hereafter, the deeds of the people will be weighed on a balance. The good deeds will be weighed in one pan and the bad deeds in the other pan. If the pan of the good deeds is heavier than the pan of the bad ones, that person is a winner. He will be saved from the torture because his good deeds are more than his bad deeds. But he is a believer. If the pan of the bad deeds is heavier, then he deserves punishment. If God willed for him to be punished, he will be punished unless he was forgiven. Allah forgave him. On the day of judgment, the blasphemer, however, will have nothing in the pan which weighs the good deeds. We ask Allah to make us among those who are the winners in the hereafter and protected from the torture in hellfire and in the grave. Hellfire. And now, Prophet Muhammad told us about hellfire and that it is a place where the blasphemers and part of the sinful Muslims who died without forgiveness are tortured in the hereafter. It is a physical, real fire, extremely hot. It does not get extinguished, it does not terminate, and it does not come to an end. The blasphemers stay in continuous torture in hellfire. Their torture will never lessen or stop because they are disbelievers in Allah. They don't believe properly in God and in His prophets. However, the sinful Muslims who enter hellfire do not remain there endlessly. They eventually will be taken out and admitted to paradise. They will not remain in hellfire forever because Allah does not equate between the Muslims and the blasphemers. The believer who is a Muslim obedient to Allah and whose good deeds are more than his bad deeds, he will enter paradise without any torture. And this includes all the believers that were in previous nations. In Prophet Adam's nation, Prophet Noah, Prophet Moses, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Jesus, and Prophet Muhammad. So for example, the believers in Jesus who truly properly believed in him as a prophet from God, and they worshipped Allah, they worshipped God as Jesus ordered, they will be admitted with Jesus into paradise. In the same case in the nation of Prophet Muhammad. We ask Allah to admit us to paradise without torture. The Prophet also told us about the bridge, As-Sirat. It is obligatory to believe in the bridge and that it is a bridge stretching over hellfire to which all the humans will come. It begins at the changed earth and ends before paradise. Some fall into hellfire at the very beginning of the bridge, and these are the blasphemers. Some of the believers walk on the bridge and then fall into hellfire, and the rest of the people are saved. Some, they fly in the air of the bridge. Some, they run. Those are the obedient believers, obedient Muslims. And all the nations, they will be crossing the bridge. The basin, al-hawd. The basin is a container that contains water. The basin of our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a huge body of water. Its water comes from the water of paradise. Every prophet has a basin from which his nation drinks. Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses, Prophet Abraham, Adam, all of them. The nation of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, drinks from his basin before entering paradise. Once the people drink from that water, they shall never go thirsty again. But they drink in paradise for pleasure and enjoyment. May Allah grant us that. Intercession. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us about intercession, which is Ash-Shafa'ah. Intercession is defined as asking for good things of someone for others. So you ask for the good from others for others. In the hereafter, the prophets, the pious Muslims, the angels, and the martyrs, shuhada, they intercede for some of the sinful Muslims. And as a result, they will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performs the major intercession. What happens on the Day of Judgment, the sinful Muslims go to Prophet Adam alayhi salam. They ask him to intercede for them, to be relieved from the extreme heat of the sun. Because on that day, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala makes the sun lowered on the heads of the people. So the people, they will be asking for intercession to be saved from that extreme heat, the sinful Muslims. Now Prophet Adam, when he's asked, he directs them to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. He says, he is your father after your father, because Adam was the father of the humans, and then came after him Nuh, Noah alayhi salam. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam then directs them to go to Prophet Ibrahim, who directs them to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who directs them to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, who is in turn directs them to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who then intercedes for them and says, ana laha, ana laha, which is, I am for it, I am for it, I am for this intercession. And by this intercession, Allah Ta'ala forgives the Muslims and He relieves them from the torture. So the Prophets do benefit us in their lives, and after their death, they benefit us. Paradise. Also, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us about paradise. He conveyed about the enjoyment in paradise, and so it is obligatory to believe in paradise, Al-Jannah, which is now existing. It exists. God created it. But it does not have anyone in it until after the Day of Judgment. Paradise is above the seventh sky. The ceiling of paradise is the Arsh, the throne, the biggest of the creations that Allah created. So the throne, the Arsh, is larger than paradise. And as we mentioned in previous lessons, Allah created the throne as a sign of His power and not to sit on it as the disbelievers claim, because Allah exists without a place. And He existed before the sky and before the throne and before creating the creations. He has no beginning, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted. So the ceiling of paradise is the throne. And paradise has many levels. Its uppermost level is called the Firdaus, Al-Firdausul A'la. And the Arsh is above this level. Also, the Prophet, peace be upon him, conveyed to us that the believers will see Allah. So seeing Allah Ta'ala with the eye in the hereafter, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being without a place, without Allah having a form or a body or a limit or being contained in a direction or a place, different from the way a creation is seen. So this means Allah will grant the believers, the Muslims, seeing the self of Allah, the creator of all the creations. This is a known element of the creed of the Muslims and is a point of difference between the people of Ahlus Sunnah and some deviant factions. We must believe that the believers, while in paradise, see Allah with their eyes. Allah empowers their eyes to see Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted. They will see Allah not the way the creatures are seen. Rather, they see Allah without Allah being in a direction. They see Allah without having a distance between them and Him, subhanahu. This was explicitly stated by the scholars of Islam, such as Imam Abu Hanifa, whom stated it in his book Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, and other scholars as well. Seeing Allah is the greatest enjoyment the occupants of paradise will experience, because they are seeing the Creator, who does not resemble any of the creations, and who has no place and no form. May Allah grant us this great endowment. The dwelling forever in paradise or hellfire. It is obligatory to believe that the blasphemers will dwell forever in hellfire, and those who enter paradise will be there forever. This was explicitly stated in the Quran and explicitly mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is a matter which is known to both the scholars and the lay Muslims, that hellfire will be everlasting and paradise will be everlasting. Paradise will be everlasting for the believers, for the Muslims, and hellfire will be everlasting for the disbelievers, the blasphemers. How could the blasphemers be admitted to paradise when they don't believe in Allah, when they don't believe properly in Allah, or they claim they believe in Allah but they have the wrong beliefs in God, or they associate partners to God, or they attribute non-befitting attributes to God? They are not believers. It is also a must to believe in Allah's angels. It is obligatory to believe in the angels that God created. That is to believe that they exist. They are bodies which Allah created from light. So they are not tangible bodies. Humans are tangible bodies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created both. And He is not tangible nor intangible. He is not a soft body nor a hard body. He is not a body. He is the one who created the body. He specified the bodies with description, with a form, with limits, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is unlike the creations in any way. The angels, they are bodies which Allah created from pure light. They are not males nor females, as some people claim. They do not eat or drink. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are obedient to Allah in everything. They always obey the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among them, Angel Jibreel, peace be upon him, and Angel Israfil, and Azrael, who is in charge of taking the souls, and other angels which have certain tasks. Allah does not need the angels. He does not need any of His creations. All the creations are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The messengers, Al-Anbiya wal-Rusul. We must believe in all the prophets, those of whom we know and those of whom we do not know. They were numerous. The first of them was Prophet Adam, peace be upon him. The last was our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Some of them were prophets and messengers, and others were prophets, but not messengers. But they all came with the same religion, Islam. The prophet, who is a messenger, is one to whom Allah revealed new laws differing from the laws of the messenger before him. Whereas the prophet, who was not a messenger, also received the revelation from Allah in which he was ordered to follow the laws of the messenger before him. Both the prophets and the messengers were ordered to convey their message. Some falsely define the prophet, who is not a messenger, as the one who received the revelation of a new set of laws but was not ordered to convey them to others. This is wrong. This is a serious error which one categorically must not adopt. Because Allah sent the prophets to convey to the people the religion and the way of life. And all of the prophets of Allah conveyed the proper belief in God, that no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us about the holy books. It is obligatory to believe in all the revealed books. There are 104 books. The most famous are four: the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil, and the Quran. Other than these four famous books, it is narrated that 50 different sheets, journals, or Suhuf were revealed to Prophet Sheeth alayhi salam, 30 to Prophet Idris alayhi salam, 10 to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and 10 other than the Torah to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. May peace be upon all of them. And all the books had the belief that no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah, the creator of all the creations. So all the prophets were ordered to teach the people about God, that He is the only God and the only one who deserves to be worshipped. But they have different laws. They had different laws. It is also a must to believe in destiny, both good and evil, al-qadr. Now the Arabic term qadr can mean destining, and it also can mean destiny. It is obligatory to believe that everything that happens in this universe happens according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the creating of Allah the Exalted, and by the destining, qadr, of Allah. Destining, when used to mean the attribute of Allah, the eternal attribute of Allah, means Allah's managing things and making them occur in accordance with His eternal will and knowledge. In other words, it is making things the way they are. This is destining. However, destiny, qadr, is used in the above text to mean the created thing, which Allah Ta'ala created. It refers to that which happens according to the destiny, qadr, of Allah. This is why it is divided into what is good and what is evil. It is not permissible to say about the destiny, qadr, of Allah, which is the attribute of His self, that some is good and some other is evil, because it is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the attributes of Allah are attributes of perfection. The destiny, qadr, of Allah is good. However, as to that which happens, that is the created things, some of them are good and some of them are evil. So Allah created both the good and the evil. However, Allah ordered us to do the good deeds and to refrain from the bad deeds. And these are amongst the beliefs that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught, that Allah created everything. He ordered us to do the good and He ordered us to avoid the evil. One must believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last of the prophets and the best of all children of Adam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last prophet Allah sent. No prophet will come after him. Although Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, will descend from the sky before the day of judgment, he received already the revelation of prophethood before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he descends again, he will rule with the laws of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will not come as a new prophet. The last revealed prophet is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as clearly stated in the Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 40, which specifically says that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last of the prophets. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِّجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. This verse from the Quran means Muhammad is not the father of any of your men. Rather, he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of all the prophets. Anyone who claims that a prophet will be revealed after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a blasphemer. For example, there are some who claim that a man by the name of Ghulam Ahmad received prophethood after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ghulam Ahmad is from Qadian and lived about 100 years ago. He claimed prophethood for himself, and some misguided people believed him. They call them the Ahmadis, or the Qadianiyya, or the Ahmadiyya. Sometimes they refer to themselves as the Ahmadi Muslims. These people are blasphemers for believing in the religious permissibility of some people receiving the revelation after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is a must to believe that Prophet Muhammad is the last of the prophets and that there is no prophet after him and that all the prophets before him came with Islam. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, which means Islam is the only accepted religion to God, to Allah. Moreover, our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last and the best of all the prophets. After him in status are Prophet Ibrahim, Abraham alayhi salam, then Prophet Musa alayhi salam, then Prophet Isa alayhi salam, then Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. May Allah raise their ranks. Ameen. Moreover, it is obligatory to believe in all the prophets that Allah sent, and that every prophet of Allah must be attributed with truthfulness, trustworthiness, and intelligence. Consequently, lying, dishonesty, vileness, stupidity, and dullness are impossible to be among their attributes. They must be attributed with impeccability, that is, they are protected from ever committing blasphemy, enormous sins, kaba'ir, and small abject sins before and after prophethood. So Allah Ta'ala protected them from committing such sins. We ask Allah to keep us steadfast on the creed of Islam. We ask Allah to gather us with these great prophets and admit us to paradise without torture, and Allah Ta'ala knows best.